I'll refer to the gospel in a minute, but while I was thinking of this gospel, a person came to my mind who was profiled in a movie last spring starring Mark Wahlberg. The movie was about a priest from Montana named Father Stu Long. And the story of Father Stu is a fascinating story. He grew up in a very challenging home, a challenging environment. And indeed, as a teenager in high school, his peers were very much threatened by him. He was someone who was considered, in a sense, someone like a little bit of a mafia boss. And there is one colleague of his from high school that he then saw later on in his life who was remarkably impressed by the change that happened in Stu Long. His friend's name was John Palmer, and I'll refer to John again in a minute. But when they were in high school, John said, "I was so frightened by Stu that I would stay as far away from him as I possibly could." Well, something happened in Stu Long's life. He eventually left Montana and went to California, to Los Angeles, to try his hand in the movie business. It didn't go all that well, although he got some small parts in commercials and in a couple of movies made for TV. But he met a woman there with whom he fell in love, and they started to live together, and she was a Catholic. And interestingly, she said to Stu, "I will not continue to date you unless you become Catholic." And so Stu Long went to RCIA and was received into the church at the Easter Vigil in 1994. However, his relationship with this woman was not going well, and so they went to see the pastor of the congregation. And the pastor said to them that he feared that their union was troubled and would not make it. And then Stu asked, "Why?" And the priest said, "Because you're in it." That just sort of says something about Father Stu's life. But what happened subsequent to this was remarkable. Father Stu had a deepening conversion. I should also mention that he'd been in a terrible accident with his motorcycle, which he was able to recover from. But subsequent to his decision to become a priest and enter to seminary, he was diagnosed with a degenerative disease, something like Lou Gehrig's disease. Those in the seminary thought that he should not be ordained. But his sponsoring bishop from Helena, Montana, a man by the name of George Thomas, said the following. He said, "In my prayer, I asked the Lord, I asked Our Lady, please guide me, tell me what to do." Bishop Thomas is now the Bishop of Las Vegas. And he said, "This is what I sensed the Holy Spirit saying to me at that time. I kept hearing over and over again in prayer, there is power in suffering. There is power, especially in redemptive suffering. Stu Long exemplifies that." And so, on the 14th of December in 2007, Stu Long became Father Stu Long. One of the things that he did after he became a priest, he went back to the high school that he had gone to and celebrated Mass there. But because of his disease that was becoming more and more incapacitating for him, it was very difficult for him to celebrate Mass. And I want to read to you an observation made as he was celebrating Mass at his former high school. "Though his body was weakened severely, Father Stu desperately wanted to celebrate Mass, and so he went to Carroll College. He could not even lift the weight of the host at the elevation," Bishop Thomas said. "So one of the students would hold his hand up, and I thought, there is a man who simply would not give up. He loved the Lord so deeply and loved his people so deeply. Attempting to raise the chalice, Father Stu would hold his hand as still as possible and lean his body far to the side, almost to the floor. Father Bert Tolleson, his ordination classmate, marveled at the sight. What an amazing image of raising the blood of Christ by lowering himself," Tolleson said. "And the lower Father Stu got, the higher Jesus got. The lower Father Stu got, the higher Jesus got. Just before he died, which was in June of 2014 at the age of 50, Father Stu observed in the following way. As our bodies start to betray us and break down, and as our minds start to fail, that is an opportunity for us to make our peace with God. The struggle of this disease helped me to learn to live the way I should have been living all along. It has helped me overcome some of my prideful ways. It's taught me a little humility. It's taught me about dignity and respect for other people. What we see in Father Stu Long is the truth of conversion. What happens when the Holy Spirit is able to get a hold of our lives and we have a tenacity, we have a courage, we have a perseverance that Jesus so beautifully expressed in today's gospel. As you know, the New Testament was written in Greek, and sometimes our English translation diminishes the power of the Greek original. In the gospel, Jesus says, or St. Luke rather, says why Jesus told this parable. For it was about the need for his disciples to pray and to not lose heart. The Greek for not lose heart is actually to be overcome by evil. And so what Jesus does in this prayer that he'll share, this parable about prayer, is that we are to persevere in prayer because it's one of the ways in which we can combat evil. I love how the parable then unfolds. The judge says to himself, I'm going to give this woman justice because if she keeps coming to me, she's going to wear me out. The Greek is actually much more direct. What he's really saying is, I'm going to give her justice unless she comes to me and gives me a black eye. So she's not just the persistent widow, she's the violent widow. She's going to persist until she gets the justice that she desires. Why does Jesus tell this parable? It's because in this world, we need this kind of perseverance. In a world where we are affected by physical disease, where we are affected by the things that go on around us, how easy it can be to become discouraged and give up. But what the Lord is looking for is a community of men and women who are discovering this deeper conversion, are experiencing what Father Stu Long experienced about the meaning and the purpose of our lives that's not diminished by suffering, but can actually be enhanced if we see Jesus Christ at its very center. At the end of the gospel, Jesus applies the parable by asking the question, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? What does that kind of faith look like? What does that kind of community look like? And this is where we turn to our first reading from 3 John. 3 John is the shortest letter in the whole of the New Testament. It's only 11 verses long. No, 14 verses, excuse me. And the context of the letter is important to know. There was a leader in this community by the name of Diotrephes. And Diotrephes challenged the authority of John the Apostle. Although John had an authority for this group of churches, he was their bishop, Diotrephes, as the priest, said, no, I'm not going to listen to John. And he tried to manipulate and control this community. Well, in the community where Diotrephes was the pastor, there was a parishioner by the name of Gaius. And here, St. John is writing his letter to this parishioner, Gaius. And look what he says about him. He says, Gaius, whom I love in the truth, you do faithfully whatever you do for the friends, even though they are strangers. And what St. John is saying here is there are going to come to your community, Gaius, people who are truly men of God. Diotrephes is going to oppose them, but I want you to welcome them. And not only to welcome them, but to support them financially for the work that they are continuing to do. These men were what we would call itinerant preachers who went from town to town to town. And so what we see in this letter is something fundamental to the gospel. St. John says that I love you, Gaius, in the truth. And look at how the passage ends. Therefore, we ought to support such people so that we may become co-workers with the truth. What a beautiful phrase. To be the people of God, to be like the persistent widow, to be like Father Stu Long, is to recognize the true authority of Jesus Christ and how that authority is ordered within his one holy Catholic and apostolic church. And when we do that, what do we become for one another? We become men and women of encouragement, men and women of support, men and women who are tenacious, who are persevering, so that we can embody in our lives, in a way that is appropriate to our vocation, what Stuart Long did in his, a life of deepening conversion, complete dependence upon Jesus Christ, so that through him, the love of Christ would shine. May his example inspire us. May the persistent widow and Gaius be for us examples of what it is to be men and women of authentic faith.